Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Looking tonight at the first and the last. Revelation chapter 1. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. The first and the last. You know, in regard to the things of this earth, we never know what's going to last and what isn't. I remember there was a time when I would buy Craftsman automotive tools because they had a forever warranty. Well, the forever warranty is only going to last as long as Sears is around, and it doesn't look like they're going to be around forever the way it's going for them right now. There are just so many things that change over the years. I can recall when I was a little boy, my dad worked for a man who plastered houses. But what happened? Well, things changed to drywall instead of plaster. And so very few homes, maybe some high-end homes are still plastered. Some commercial work maybe, but mostly it's drywall. So it's adapting or being out of a job. I can remember many years ago when they used to put music and preaching on black plastic round things. Some were big, and some were small, called records. And funny thing, I haven't seen too many of those for sale. Have you lately? The old records? No. And then they started recording on cassette tapes. A lot of messages. Years ago, there was a family that started coming from another city, and he gave me a huge box of preaching of cassette tapes. Well, when is the last time you bought a cassette tape player? I don't even know if you can still buy them or not. I don't know if I'm getting the right order on some of these things, but then they seem to digress in a way back to round plastic things. But they called them CDs this time around, and a different technology of putting the information on them. And then DVDs, where you had more room. You could put films, movies on those. But funny thing is it's hard to buy a computer now for some reason that even has a CD player in it, especially laptops. It's like everything now is just online, and if you want information, you get this tiny little thing called a flash drive, and those little flash drives hold way more than the church's first hard drive on the computer. The first hard drive was 400 megabyte, something like that, I think, on the first church computer, and now you can get, 64 gigabytes on this little tiny thing you put in your computer, and it's unreal. But anyway, things change. So now you got all your pictures or whatever on CDs or DVDs, and it's like, okay, how am I going to play these anyway? So now we're putting all this information on our little flash drives, and down the road, are we even going to be able to use those? The USBs, USB 2 and 3, and everything changes. What is sure in this life? Incandescent bulbs? Can you buy them anymore? I don't know. Maybe you can, but everything is LED now. On engines, I grew up learning how to work on carburetors. Now almost everything is fuel injectors, which I have zero experience working with those. So in regard to the things of this earth, everything keeps changing, doesn't it? And that's why we need to invest in that which is eternal. And when I read here that in verse 11, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. And Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter. So Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Isn't it good to know that with the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the author and what? Finisher of our faith. He is still going to be around at the end. And so, you know, He's not handing over the reins to someone else and, okay, well, are they going to continue the same way or not? He's the author and finisher of our faith. So number one, if you're taking notes, number one, the pursuit of a relationship with God is sure. A pursuit of a relationship with God is sure. In life, that's the one thing that is sure. Notice in Psalm 90. Psalm 90. And verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 1. The Bible says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in what?
All generations.
This is something that's never changed. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to what?
Everlasting,
Thou art God. I was talking with a man last evening, and he was just saying something about little children and phones. Last night, I went in to grab some food in town, and when I got in my car to go into the store, there was this car with fogged up windows, but in it, there was one person in the passenger side on his phone, and there were two people in the back seat on their phones. And how many times do you see that? It's like, and then we take pictures with our phones. How many of you 10 years ago would have ever thought about combining a phone and a camera? I mean, you would have said, what? I mean, can you imagine your wall phone being also a camera? You'd say, that'll never work. But what do they do now? I've seen furnace men. They don't come with their pad of paper anymore. They want the model numbers on the furnace. They get out their phone and they take a picture of the label on the furnace. It's like, what would you do without a phone that has a camera on it nowadays? I mean, it's things constantly change. But from in this verse 1 here, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In my generation, when I was little, it was play telephones, you know, but now the little tykes, they know how to run these cell phones. It's amazing, really amazing. So yesterday in the evening, I was talking to a man. He's 80 years old, and his wife passed away 12 years ago. So they were married a good long time. They had many years together. But a girl that was raised in the church in which I grew up, this girl married a guy, and I'm not sure on the exact time, but I think it was within the first year. Her new husband was killed on a motorcycle accident. So you have an 80-year-old man who spent many years with his wife. Then you have this young lady. She gets married, and her husband dies a year or less. What is sure? What is sure? And then there's the Winaldas of Brother Steve. Do you remember how long they were married?
60 years.
Okay. So a good long time, and she passed away first, correct? And then he passed away, was it just a week or two? Okay, within a couple of months. So here you have a couple well up in years, and what the Lord does for them is what a lot of elderly people would wish, you know, that the Lord would, well, the greatest thing they would wish is they'd go up in a rapture. But other than that, it would be to go to be with the Lord in about the same time what they did. It was pretty amazing what the Lord did there. But then you have Job and his wife. And, I mean, wealthy, 10 children, and in one day, lost all their children. Now, the Lord gave them 10 children back later on, but what a loss. Notice in Job chapter 1. So what we're looking at here is, what is sure in life? Well, the pursuit of God. The pursuit of a relationship with God is sure. It's something that can't be interrupted. It can't be interrupted by a motorcycle accident. It can't be interrupted. This man told me, this 80-year-old man, that 12 years ago his wife died. He told me, he said that one night she got up in the night. He was in bed, but awakened by her getting up. And in a few moments, he heard her hit the floor. And he checked on her, and she was already gone to be with the Lord. So in Job chapter 1, what is sure in life? The pursuit of a relationship with God. That is what is sure. Job 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So here's a man of God. A nice family. Then in verse 18. Whilst he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I've heard some of you talking about the wind and how powerful it was yesterday, and many were without power for a time. You know, this could have happened to any of us on that day yesterday with the wind, but it happened to Job. So the pursuit of a relationship with God is sure. Hebrews chapter 13. So the question is are we pursuing that relationship? And obviously the first question is we have to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Receiving him as our Savior, there is no other way to have a relationship with God. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will what? Never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So no matter what happens to us, and we've given examples of many different things, but this thing cannot be taken away. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And notice in Psalm 37, you know, some incorrectly say that Old Testament saints could lose their salvation. And I do not know where they would get that, but nonetheless, some actually believe that, and that is a false doctrine. That is not true. Psalm 37:28. The Bible says, for the Lord loveth judgment, and what? Forsaketh not his saints. They are what? Preserved how long? Forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You see, what makes a saint? What does it mean to be a saint? A saint means to be set apart. It means to be sanctified apart to God. Well, what makes us saints? It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not that we are saintly. You know, we're so much like Israel. God would defend Israel when it came to the heathen enemies. But Moses testified they'd been rebellious against the Lord from the day he knew them. And yet, it's our position in Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are declared to be righteous, sinless. There was one of the ladies there at the mission point this afternoon, and I asked her that question, if she knew she was going to heaven, and she kind of gave an iffy answer. And so I just tried to explain that the reason our salvation is secure is because our righteousness is based upon Jesus Christ, not on our works. And she acted like she understood. I pray that she did. I pray if she's not truly born again that she would realize it can't be based upon her righteousness, but only Christ's righteousness. So Old Testament saint, there's always only been one way to become a saint, and that's through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're preserved forever, because it's not based on our righteousness, but His. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. A salvation that can be lost is a false salvation. It's not true. John chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus said, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. You know, there's something that you'll never read in the Bible. You'll never read, I give unto them temporary life, when it's talking about salvation. It's not temporary salvation. It's not probationary salvation. It's always eternal or everlasting life. And they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So the Bible only talks about one type of salvation, an eternally secure salvation. And once again, the reason is because our righteousness is totally of Jesus Christ. Notice in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So what happens when we sin? The people ask the question, well, what about if you sin? What happens? Well, 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye what? Sin not. So the standard is sin not. That's the standard. But it goes on. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And what is his name? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the what? The righteous. That's why it's secure, our salvation. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So let's make sure that our lives are based upon something that is sure, that is unchanging, and that is the pursuit of a relationship with God. That is sure. Salvation is sure. And then we need to pursue pleasing Him. Number two, the pursuit of the will of God is sure. The pursuit of the will of God is sure. 1 John 2, 15. 1 John 2, 15. Love not what? The world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, what? Passeth away. So nothing in this world is sure. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. I was in a store, that was yesterday, and this man was waiting on me, and I noticed he had tattoos on both arms, but on one of the arms, I saw the name King, and of course it was bottom side up to me, and so I couldn't read the rest of his tattoo. And so when he was finished waiting on me, I says, what's that King on your arm? What does it mean? I says, who is it talking about? And he kind of smiled, and he was this Hispanic, and he kind of smiled and said, me. Oh. He said, yeah. I said, you know, to impress the girls. I mean, he's probably 40 years old. To impress the girls, you know, I'm the King. And so I let him finish, and I said, well, Jesus is my King. And I gave him a gospel tract, and so everything in this world is so unsure. He's not the king. That guy is not the king, I'll tell you. So pursuing the will of God is sure. Notice 1 Kings 15. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 15. Can you imagine trying to be a king in this world? What a futile pursuit that would be. Trying to oppress anybody for very long is a futile pursuit. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. And then what? Unmovable. Always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. For as much as what? Ye know that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. This is what I'm talking about. The pursuit of the will of God is something sure. It's something steadfast. It's something worthwhile. It's something that gives our life purpose by pursuing the will of God for our lives. Brother Jesse had a good message on that this morning. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1. So how do we know the will of God? How do we pursue the will of God? Well, Google doesn't know. This seems like there's always something that tries to come between us and God. Well, we pursue it through the Word of God. But Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy. That's kind of missing today, isn't it? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. So we can prove it from the Word of God. And that's where we do need to prove the will of God. So, number one, a pursuit of a relationship with God is sure. All other pursuits are very unsure. Number two, the pursuit of the will of God is sure. Number three, the pursuit of the Word of God is sure. The pursuit of the Word of God is sure. Notice in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Aren't you glad that we have something sure? Psalm 19. So, when people listen to man, their lives are very unsure. So, they said at first, okay, get a vaccine, okay, and then you won't get COVID. Well, so people got the vaccine and they still got COVID. So I said, okay, you need a booster shot, okay? So now we're on our third strain of COVID, and so now they're saying you need another booster shot. Okay, I just read about a man in New Zealand got 10 COVID shots in one day. 10. That just shows you how unsure taking man's advice. I mean, obviously, he had been pounded into him, if you don't want it, you better get the shot. So he decided he doesn't want it, obviously, so he's going to get 10 shots. I hope he lives to see morning tomorrow. I don't know if he will. But Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are what? Right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are what? True and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. I love this passage here. It tells me in verse 7 that the law of the Lord is perfect, It's sure. Verse 8, it's right. It's pure. Verse 9, it's clean. It's true and righteous. It's more valuable than money. Verse 10. Verse 11, it warns me of the bad things, and there's great reward for keeping the word of God. So we're looking at number 3, the pursuit in our lives of the word of God is sure. It's something we can count on. There's not going to be a revision of it. Well, at least not that we're going to read. A lot of people have tried to revise the word of God, but we don't pay attention to that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 7. We're looking at the pursuit of the word of God is sure. It's something we can count on. Isaiah 40 verse 7. The grass withereth. Now you may be happy about that. You don't have to mow it. The flower fadeth because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But what? The word of our God shall what? Stand forever. So the Bible is sure. It's a pursuit worthwhile in our lives. Notice in Psalm 12, the pursuit of the word of God is sure in a day when everything is so unsure, what man says. Psalm 12:6, the Bible says the words of the Lord are what? Pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt what? Keep them, O Lord. So it's the Lord keeping them. Thou shalt what? Preserve them. How long? From what? This generation forever. So it's God preserving them. Preserving his word, his pure word. He's the one that's preserving it. In Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The pursuit of the word of God is something sure in our lives. It's something we won't regret having done, pursuing it. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My words shall not pass away. The pursuit of a relationship with God is sure. The pursuit of the will of God is sure. The pursuit of the word of God is sure. I read this afternoon that a news person, Chris Wallace, he was with Fox News, I guess, suddenly announced his departure today from that organization. It said he's worked for ABC, NBC, and Fox, and now there's rumors that he'll go to CNN. I'm not sure about that. But what struck me is when I read this part. Chris Wallace said this. He said, we've covered 5 presidential elections, interviewed every president since George H.W. Bush, traveled the world, sitting down with France's Emmanuel Macron and Russia's Vladimir Putin. And I've gotten to spend Sunday mornings with you, Wallace said. It may sound corny, but I feel we've built a community here. There's a lot you can do on Sundays. The fact you've chosen to spend this hour with us is something I cherish. Well, I thought about that, and I had no idea when he was on Fox News, but obviously it's Sunday mornings. It was Sunday mornings. And I thought about that. Okay, so he's looking back on his life, and he's patting himself on the back that he's interviewed every president since George H.W. Bush. He's patting himself on the back. He's been able to sit down with the leader of France, the leader of Russia. He's patting himself on the back that all of his, what he calls his community, has chosen to spend Sunday mornings with him. Do you know what I thought? What a waste of a life. He's pursued building a community, but what did Jesus pursue? Building his church. Well, if Chris Wallace has built his own community on Sunday mornings around political and world news, What does that mean in eternity? Well, what it means in eternity is he's forgotten God. He's forgotten God's house on Sunday mornings anyway. Notice with me in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 in verse 36. You know, talking with Mr. Putin or Mr. Macron is not going to get Mr. Wallace into heaven. Those are not the guys who have the keys to heaven and hell. Mark 8, 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? What shall it profit a man if he's talked to all the leaders of all the countries? What's that going to profit him in eternity? Nothing. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul. Where is Chris Wallace going to spend eternity? Verse 37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He's built this community. He's proud of himself. He's built this community on Sunday mornings. What does that mean in eternity? Other than it helped keep people out of God's house, if he was that interesting to listen to? Verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So he's built his community. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? Build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus, his desire is to build his church. Chris Wallace evidently has built his little community, how many ever people it is, around his news program. What does that mean in eternity? Absolutely nothing. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. What it shows is that Chris Wallace was not interested in what Jesus said. Hebrews 10:24. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to what? To provoke unto love and to good works. Now, if you want to talk about community, and well, let's read the next verse first. Not forsaking what? The assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. As the manner of some Chris Wallaces and in their communities that would rather listen to politics and world news. Would you like to spend your Sunday mornings listening to politics and world news? That is not my idea of a good time at all. No. The Lord says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And verse 24 told us part of this assembling is to provoke one another to love and to good works. That's the community, we're interested in. Chris Wallace, it said, announced his abrupt departure from Fox News. Well, I have some more important news than that. One of these days, all of us are going to experience an abrupt departure from this world. And then it's going to matter not who we talk to down here about politics and world news, but more importantly, who we talk about Jesus Christ and about how to be saved and about how to live for him. That is what's going to matter. So I pray the Lord would help us to invest our lives in that which is worthwhile. Number one, the pursuit of a relationship with God. That is sure. The pursuit of the will of God. That is sure. The pursuit of the Word of God. That is sure. And if we could go back to Revelation 1 for a moment. Revelation 1:10. John said here, I was in the Spirit on what? The Lord's Day. So the early believers began to meet on the first day of the week in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so he refers to it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Not the Sabbath day. That's not where they worshiped any longer, but the Lord's Day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the what? First and the last. That is what we want to pursue. Something that is sure. Jesus is the first, he's the last, he's the author, and he's the finisher of our faith. And there's just nothing else that satisfies on this earth, is there? There just isn't. But pursuing God and his will for each of our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together we've had. And I pray, Lord, that we would provoke one another to love and to good works, to loving you supremely, and to serving you with all of our hearts in sincerity and truth. So, Lord, please help us not to get sidetracked. Help us, Lord, not to desire the prestige of this earth and the worldly relationships with, as this news person reminisces, relationships that mean absolutely nothing apart from Jesus Christ. So, Lord, please help us. Lord, we do not want to waste our lives. So help us, Lord, to pursue you with all of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.